Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. We're going to be talking about cannabis. We're going to be talking about, that thing that call the weed. And, you know, we want to say, gosh, I'd love to know everything about that. But then, we can't really talk about that, can we? So we're going to be talking about the good and the bad and the ugly of, you know, really, hey, what's going on in the market these days? Because I can tell you a lot of things are going on in the market, and we say, oh, no, I don't really know what's going on, and I'm just going to stay away from it when it's really something really great. So Andrew is with us, and he is from Hemp Meds PX. He is their spokesperson, and Andrew, it's a great pleasure to have you here with us today. And Andrew, forgive me, your last name, because my computer was shut off. I just got done talking to you and saying, I shut off my computer for the next 3 weeks, and oh my goodness.
I love it. You know it's a holiday show. The host has shut off her computer. So, yes, indeed, I am from Hemp Meds. I'm one of their main spokespeople. My name is Andrew Hard, if you believe it, H-A-R-D, just like the adjective, like, you know, rock hard. and make no mistake, I know it's taken a little bit to get me on, but it doesn't at all reflect how excited we are to be on and talk to your listeners and also to talk to you about all the great things that we're doing, because we've taken a very, very active interest over the last year in trying to communicate to everyone about this emerging industry. And make no mistake, it will be the next great emerging American industry. And we're excited to talk about it and all the issues. As you said, all the craziness, all the confusion as well. And
The good, bad, and the ugly of the industry.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. We can discuss every last thing and certainly just like every other business, it has, you know, a little bit of every single one.
Well, you know, Andrew, it's really interesting because it's been a while to get on the show, but I'll tell you, it's not for lack of you not being busy, because the market is expanding so rapidly. Legislation is going, you know, up in almost every single state. You're finding companies pop up and pop down. There's all kinds of new rules for physicians. Patients are clamoring for the stuff, and we're even finding, you know, I live here in the Deep South, and they're saying, oh, well, you know, hey, we used to arrest these people for having some cannabis in their car, and now we're not going to anymore. And it's like, what are you talking about? You know? So
yes,
I think
and now they are leaders. Yes, it is the Wild West. I can tell you from working in the industry, it absolutely is the Wild West, which has all the good and all the bad. It has all the innovation and the breaking down barriers and trying new things of, you know, the new frontier of the Wild West. And, you know, similarly, of course, it has kind of the all, you know, unexplored kind of, you know, not as well regulated areas as well. Obviously, we were very, very happy to learn that this week here in late December, President Obama signed a federal bill basically telling the federal government to back off, is what it said, of medical marijuana laws in every state that has passed them, and of obviously the federal government interfering or causing any problem for these new businesses that are trying to grow, which has been a problem, by the way, including the fact that the federal government regulates the banking system. So if you're in business and your business documentation or banking records are mentioning THC at all, you're going to have problems. you know, running a bank account, cashing checks, running direct deposit for your employees. Mm-hmm. That has been a problem for a long time, forcing those businesses to be cash only, which is its own huge issue and huge issue for crime then occurring at these young businesses.
Right.
And also telling the federal government to stay out of hemp and mm-hmm. hemp growing as well. So we were very, very excited. You know, well, obviously that move did not do anything to obviously decriminalize on a federal level and address all those issues. It is a major, major gesture that, wow, you know, the federal government is and it has certainly taken a time and too long. And to tell you the truth, that's been part of the problem is, you know, the regulatory environment could be a lot better if the, you know, the federal government would finally step in and say, look, we get it. You know, we're going to deschedule THC and, you know, start mm-hmm. to really look at this and, you know, and set some guidelines. However, it was a gesture of we do see what the states are doing. It completely has merit. We see that these are, you know, young entrepreneurs and young businesses that are trying to grow. And for the sake of the country, we should get the heck out of the way and let this thing start to build.
Well, don't you think, too, this is really looking like when after Prohibition and stuff, you know, when you start to do alcohol,
yeah.
you know, similar yeah. situations. And then you turned around, you had all these other regulations on top of it. But alcohol was slightly different in that it wasn't used for medicinal purposes. And really, hemp, it has a great basis in the medical community. I mean, right now, we as naturopathic physicians in the states of Arizona, and I'm not sure about any other states because I'm only licensed in Arizona, so I only pay attention to it there. But we can be those physicians there where we can help with that process in getting people a card to be able to purchase that for medical marijuana. And so let's go back to the beginning because a lot of our listeners are very confused about this. And if we take it kind of slow, let's take the word cannabis means, and then let's talk about the plant, because, you know, I get hemp oil from companies online and I put it on my salad. What's the difference with that versus the hemp oil you put in your products versus what is the other stuff that's maybe used for medicinal? Now, that's three. And then also the other for recreation. So there's four big, huge categories right there that I think we need to clearly understand.
Absolutely. Basically, you asked, number one, and keep in mind, there is a huge, huge, you don't even want to know, in industry conversation going on right now about hemp oil. And what is it? Is
right.
this properly defined? Are we calling this the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
Where does it come from? And, you know, what is legal right now and a whole bunch of confusion about it. So I can kind of elaborate on that, or would you rather me kind of walk through each of the four categories you just
walk
named?
Walk through the four categories, because what I'm finding is that people, you know, just to put it on a salad dressing where you're getting great nutrition for people who are vegetarians, they're freaking out thinking it's the same thing that you're using for recreational, you know, and it's not. Or, you know,
yeah, absolutely
medicinal
not.
People are saying, well, I'll just use more hemp oil, you know, that I get from online. When it really isn't the same thing that you put on your salad to be able to get a therapeutic effect in a medicinal. So let's walk through those four categories.
Yeah, sure. So Lima, give me category one first.
So start with the lowest, the hemp oil that you get for your salads, which is really just
yeah,
a salad dressing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And that's most likely hemp seed oil is what that's going to be. You are then purchasing hemp seed oil. Keep in mind, hemp seed oil probably does, you know, most likely in all its variations have CBD in it, which your listeners should know. If they take nothing else away from this conversation, they should know that CBD or cannabidiol is one of the more than 80 cannabinoids in the cannabis plant, in the marijuana or
one little constituent of the plant. So one out of 80 or more constituents are in a plant. And if you look at the plant, you know, this is a real stickler that I've had on the show probably over the past 2 years. I've been trying to explain to people. So many people are out there now trying to say, grow your own weeds, grow your own herbs, grow your own food, this, that, and the other. And then they say, oh, you can take that and you can make medicine out of it. You know, and it's such a risky business because of what parts of the plants that you're using have what kind of constituents. And I think this one is a perfect example of that. If you mess up with one of those constituents, you're going to get a totally different compound.
Yes, we don't advocate for people to,
right,
you know, grow and try to formulate on their own. That's problematic. Literally, unless they went to school for that, that can cause problems.
And I've said that a million times before because of all of these, you know, greenieing gurus now and these experts that are coming out.
Yes.
They're all saying, oh, no, you can do it in your own yard. And it's like, oh, Lord, you know, please don't tell these people because they get free rein and then they're really doing harm to themselves. And that's really harming the industry because you're not doing something smart and then you're saying, oh, well, it didn't work or it did this or it did that, when really you have the wrong compound in the first place. So, like,
yep,
I said, this is a perfect example.
Yeah, there's a lot you can do, in your own backyard. You know, you can try to, you know, brew your own Robitussin in your own backyard,
correct,
but it's probably
correct,
not the smartest idea. You know, you can, like, have a little too much to drink and try to shoot at cans in your backyard, but
uh-huh,
it's probably not the best idea. And we actually share, you know, the best thing about the cannabis plant is,
mm-hmm,
people feel a real kinship with it. You know, obviously, you know, supporters,
mm-hmm,
of cannabis. And they feel a very much a part of their personal lives. And if they try to grow it, which, of course, is, you know, not legal in most states still, you know, they feel a kinship. It's a plant that you've grown yourself. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, meanwhile, you know, we share kind of the same feeling of, you know, sometimes people in the, you know, natural product space are apprehensive of big business.
Right.
And, you know, buying products like that from a business and the plant that grows from the ground, and I can do it myself, certainly apprehensive,
mm-hmm,
of, say, the pharmaceutical industry. We totally understand that. But meanwhile, you know, drawing hemp oil from the hemp plant is a process,
right,
that involves, you know, extraction, decarboxylation, actually some very sophisticated scientific methods in these products before,
mm-hmm,
they're given to consumers should be very, very thoroughly tested, you know, make sure that they're clean. There should be processes in place.
Right.
And to be totally honest, that is still something that the industry is still working on and perfecting right now. But doing it in your backyard, yes, not as possible. But
so
that's your first question.
We have seed oil. That's the first one.
Yes,
so how about
that would
the
be hemp,
group?
Hemp seed oil. Yes, and what was the second group
that
you named?
We had the hemp oil, and then we had,
yes,
now the line that you're putting in, like, topicals and stuff like that.
Yes.
I think that was the second one. The third one was medicinal, medical marijuana, and then the fourth one was recreational.
No problem. Okay, so the kind of oil that we are using and we are extracting to put in hemp meds is CBD oil products, no problem. The vast majority of the hemp oil, and please keep in mind what I did tell you. Your listeners won't really care at all, but what I said is there's an in-industry conversation going on right now about the term, you know, quote unquote, hemp oil, and should,
right,
we call it that? Should we not, et cetera? However,
mm-hmm,
this is all a new industry, and we're, you know, doing the best to call everything that, you know, what we can. Our hemp oil is drawn from the mature stalk of the hemp plant. So actually, just like hemp seed oil is from the non-psychoactive part of the hemp plant, meaning,
right,
you know, the THC and you know, the materials there are most likely going to be as low as 0.03% THC or lower. So it is the non-psychoactive,
mm-hmm,
part of the plant. So we draw our hemp oil from the mature stalk of the hemp plant, and you know, infuse it into our different. You mentioned topical lines, which we have everything from shampoos and conditioners and moisturizers and hand lotions and all kinds of products like that, body wash, to actually a high-end skincare line called Cannabis Beauty Defined that Dr. Jeanette was actually lucky enough to get to sample a couple things of, which are topical things for your skin, like anti-aging moisturizer, cleanser, toner. There is a bath soak, actually, a salve, and things like that. And so we take hemp oil from the mature stalk of the hemp plant, which is also one of the non-psychoactive parts, and hemp products made from the non-psychoactive parts of the hemp plant are exempt from the federal definition of marijuana. So they are legal to import and sell in all 50 states. So we are able to sell these, you know, quote-unquote hemp oil products give people access to CBD in them, you know, in this case topically for their skin, in all 50 states right now, because it's from the non-psychoactive part of the hemp plant. And you know, we all know that, you know, hemp products are exempt from that because anyone can go to their grocery store and can buy hemp. Number one, you mentioned seeds, hemp seed oil, but things like hemp proteins, hemp necklaces, and hemp shirts, you know, hemp soap. Right. We all know, you know, you can go down to, you know, Costco or Walgreens and you know, and buy products like that. And so that's where we get that hemp oil that you mentioned is from the mature stalk of the plant, which is one of the non-psychoactive parts of the hemp plant. And
what about the medicinal now?
Sure. And when you say medicinal, do you mean medicinal marijuana or? Yes. So
people would understand that medicinal marijuana is not available in every state. It is highly regulated. And you would need to go to a physician. They would need to deem that you have a certain disease under the certain category list and that you have documented proof that you have tried all the other therapies and that they were ineffectual for you, that they didn't work, and that this is kind of like your last resort. And then what you would do is you would get a card from that physician. You take that card and you would go to a local pharmacy that would dispense you the medical marijuana. It would be a medical marijuana dispensary. Now, that is not available in every state. It's very few states, probably less than five now, isn't it, I think? Maybe.
Well, yeah, but there are a bunch of states that have passed bills. Oh, it's starting big time. There are a bunch of states that have passed bills, and I can kind of walk you and your listeners through that because, yes, I mean, then you're entering a very confusing part of the spectrum. And that is where, you know, you mentioned prohibition earlier, and certainly this has been a prohibition. This has been an 80-year prohibition. Interestingly enough, both against marijuana, which, you know, THC is a Schedule I narcotic still, and actually what got all wound up in this, the growing of hemp, which got wound up in this by industrial interests for different reasons, but the growing of hemp has also been against federal law unless it's supervised by some kind of research study. But so the medical marijuana landscape now is actually although they are in different stages of being fully ready and ready to roll out their programs, 25 states now have passed medical marijuana bills.
Right, but out of those 25, they're not up to par yet because those physicians haven't been trained, nor have they been documented education. And they're just, right, I think there's less than five states. Arizona is one of them. Arizona's been up and rolling now. So is California and Washington and also have been rolling, correct?
Yes, but California is having its own problems. California has been having its dispensaries get shut down. And keep in mind, part of this was President Obama's action, because make no mistake, as they finally get this going, as they finally stop persecuting these businesses that the states have endorsed, the state legislatures passing these bills and the voters have endorsed, you can see these are businesses. And I mean, this is money,
right.
And it's big money. And, you know, obviously part of the move by the federal government of, let's, you know, sign this bill, you know, hey, federal authorities, DEA, just get out of this, you know, let these states have legalized, you know, let these businesses, you know, plant roots, you know, so to speak, and let them operate. You know, this is big business, and it's coming. So you're right, there are four states now have legalized for recreational use, which is, of course, Colorado, which we really look at as kind of the, you know, the ground zero and the epicenter for, you know, commercialization. I mean, they were really the first to legalize and the first to legalize recreational. Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
And then just in this past election, on November 4th, you had actually Oregon and Alaska also legalized.
Right.
And the District of Columbia, actually, while Congress is now maybe getting in the way of that, and we'll see if that stands. So those states have all legalized for even recreational use. Then,
can you imagine, excuse me for a second, Andrew, can you imagine weed being legalized in Washington, D.C.? Come on.
I can you imagine? Make no mistake.
We're looking at where all of these laws
they
are made.
They probably need it there more than anywhere.
Yeah, but all these laws are made, we're going to say it's legalized, and half of them will be on it, but yet they'll be voting the opposite way. There'll be really a big dichotomy there between, you know, the have-nots and the do's that don'ts, you know, and it's going to be, that would be a pretty interesting, now that would be more than the Wild West. That would be like, hey, man, that'd be like, I just don't even know what it would be like. Do you?
It's the old Wild East Coast. Well, that is what this was really become interesting. This started as a West Coast thing, and everybody, oh boy, okay, Colorado legalized for recreational, California legalized for medicinal. Okay, we know what they're doing out there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this has hit the East, and it has been very, very interesting to watch it happen because Congress is now actually getting involved and interfering with that D.C. law that did pass by the voters there. They actually might be able to ruin it short term and get in the way. New York City, New York State, meanwhile, legalized, passed a medical marijuana bill, but of course those East Coasters, they still banned the smoking of marijuana as part of it.
Right.
So New York took a serious, serious look, as did Illinois with their bill, which we should walk through as well. Took a serious look at, say, the, you know, West Coast bills, so to speak, like California, and really, 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 really said, okay, we are seeing the science. The science supports all of this. However, at the actual insistence of the state police department, is actually what it was, we are not going to legalize the smoking of marijuana because there is a lot of science. But meanwhile, you know, to their interpretation, the actual smoking of weed is not an essential part of that science. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, police, as they do, still have a long, long-standing, you know, history, let's say, with the smoking of marijuana. So in New York, they continue to ban the smoking of marijuana while under their medicinal bill, you can take it actually in a number of ways that we at HempMeds with our different products allow consumers to take things, actually where the industry is, which is drops, as you mentioned, drops, tinctures, capsules, vapes, topicals for your skin, edibles, all kinds of ways that, yes, don't involve smoking at all.
So let's put it this way now. When we're talking about, we're jumping, we've got to put a fierce line down the middle, that with THC, that without THC, and describe what THC is. And really, THC is the biggest issue, although to people who don't understand it, they're going to bunch it all together. So that's really what you and I are saying, is that, you know, cannabis is a generalized word. It's a generalized plant. You can get a salad dressing oil out of it. You can get something for your skin out of it. And that's on one side of the line with no THC. And on the other side of the line is the THC, and it could be for medicinal or it could be for recreational. Now, that's very, very clear, because that's the side where everybody has having all of the government wagers, the healthcare issues, government issues, who's going to pay for it, who's not going to pay for it, taxes, people, who do you want on it, who do you not want on it. That's where the Wild West is coming from. It's not from the other two groups on the other side. It's on the right-hand side of the line.
Yes, well, THC is the big issue. And, of course, as we all know, THC, we were talking about cannabinoids, and cannabinoids in cannabis, and cannabinoids in marijuana and in hemp. And there are over 80 identified cannabinoids in the cannabis plant. THC, obviously, is by far the most written about one, by far, far, far the most regulated one, obviously. And THC is the cannabinoid that, quote-unquote, you know, gets you high or gets you stoned.
Right.
That is THC. So that's why we all hear so much about it. And THC is the Schedule I, you know, narcotic on, you know, still on the federal list. So on the federal level, THC is against the law, period. And that is still standing federal law. Well, interestingly enough, we have the president signing bills saying, you know, these states that have legalized, you know, federal authorities stay out of their business and, you know, don't get these businesses in trouble. So it is a fascinating, fascinating regulatory environment. And the big difference between prohibition, which you mentioned, is how slowly, you know, this one actually is coming about, and how at the federal level, they literally have just insisted on sitting back on the sidelines and forcing the states to just figure this all out and legislate and regulate themselves. And so as we're talking about New York and California and Colorado, you are ending up with states with vastly, vastly different states of, you know, what we call, quote-unquote, legalization. I mean, you know, completely different environments of what is allowed, what isn't, you know, what is okay, what isn't. And because of that, even if, which we do expect in the next 2 to 6 years, the federal government deschedules THC, you will see an unbelievably more complicated tapestry across the country than with prohibition, because the fact that all these states have such different laws passed on the books now are going to make it so even things like the transporting of THC, THC product across state lines, it's going to be a total mess.
Well, let's talk about, so now we're talking THC, and THC is in the recreational, always has been. Let's talk about the difference between medicinal and recreational, the parts of the plants that are used for either one of those two, and the quantity of THC and the CBD in each one. Can you share on that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So, as we're talking about, four states and the District of Columbia have legalized for recreational use. Really, that is the clearest law, and I guess that's the most we would say in terms of, you know, quote unquote, decriminalizing. That's the only way you really, really do it, is this is okay to grow. This is okay to possess. This is okay to walk around with. You know, this is okay to consume, you know, in a public smoking area, which, you know, one of our dispensary security company called MPSI or MPS International was the, exclusive security company for actually HempFest Seattle. And at that event, there was, you know, the first ever, you know, adult smoking area where, you know, it was like a marijuana beer garden, you know, where it was a roped off area where you just go in and literally just smoke marijuana. And I live in Washington State, which has passed recreationally. And you know, that is the, you know, the recreational part of the law. What's really, really interesting, about parks of the plant, et cetera, is the growing. And obviously we know, I mean, in terms of, you know, marijuana and recent history, without there being enough research, without there being enough studying of this and the possibilities and the potential, which is still, but by the way, the story, while the facts are going to come out, you know, obviously the growing of marijuana has been just to get as much THC in, you know, the buds of the plant is what you're really dealing with if you're smoking it recreationally as possible. And, you know, what do you do to...
And also, too, listeners may know what they're, you know, there's a lot of grandparents here who are saying, you know, I'm hearing about this because I'm seeing my grandkids doing it and I'm not sure what it is or, you know, oh, well, I used to do that when I was a hippie in the 60s, you know, and is it different now? So we really want to just be real clear on that recreational is the buds. And, you know, where are they getting it from? Is it always clear bud? Is it not? Sometimes it's mixed. Sometimes it's laced with other things because it is such an undercut market. And also, too, because in the states that it's not legal, you don't know who or what you're getting it from, just like when you used to buy moonshine. Hey, you might have known that it was a guy around the corner, but it could have been a guy four or five states away, and it could have come under the underground, you know, whatever, you know. So that's really something to be paying attention to if you are, you know, an older person or even a younger person. What is it and where are you getting it and paying attention to that, right?
Yes, and that comes with regulation, mm-hmm. which is why it is good that these states are passing these laws. While the answers to those questions, where was it grown, where does it come from, how transparent is that, right. are going to be different in different states. That is why it is important, number one, for the states to pass these laws and get on board and then educate the people in their state, which is the worst part we're seeing is that just isn't happening. And some of these laws are kind of passed just to get it over with and get the debate done. But you can tell, states like Nevada took forever, after passing their law, just did nothing. And I mean, looking at Nevada, that was for years and years. I mean, it was fascinating how we passed a law, but we did nothing to help, you know, move this along. Mm-hmm. But while on the federal level at some time, you know, they're going to need to weigh into this debate. And it's been really fascinating to watch how slow they are to wade into it. But then, you know, that is the recreational side, obviously, you know, growing plants and growing them to be very, very high in THC, which is what you do if you isolate the female plant is actually what you do. Unlike hemp, you cannot grow the male and female together because then the female plant will grow these huge, huge, huge buds even bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And the plant becomes, you know, the buds become very, very, you know, rich in THC. Meanwhile, you asked about the, you know, quote unquote, there are, yes. And you know, there is where, you know, something I'll have to walk through with you, because keep in mind, at HempMeds, we sell CBD hemp oil in all 50 states. So our company is one of the leaders in this space, and we're very, very worried about always being compliant. So according to the FDA, our product is labeled as a food or a nutritional supplement. So we are very, very careful actually not to make medical claims.
Right, because you're on the other side. You're on the other side with the seed oil and with the skincare products. You're on that side of it with your grade product.
Yes, but this is where you will start to see the hemp products and the marijuana products both are actually in this same basket, to tell you the truth.
I think it's a gray line. It hasn't been gelled yet. To where it's going to settle out, and I really think that's where it's at, don't you think?
Yes, because, here, and given there, once you kind of peel back the onion, there's all, and it's all ridiculous and crazy. I mean, honestly, the answer to everyone is let the science guide this debate. You know, not different desires to make money. You know, not different desires to, you know, legalize
regulation,
you know, drugs to get you high. Yeah, not desires to, you know, enforce lots of crazy regulation. Not desires to continue the crazy propaganda campaign about the cannabis and marijuana hemp plant that has unfortunately shaped its history over the past 80 years. While all listeners should know, this country was founded by hemp farmers. George Washington and John Adams were huge, huge, famed hemp farmers. Back in the early days of the country, you could pay your taxes in hemp. And if you were a farmer with a certain size land, it was actually illegal not to grow hemp. It's how important hemp was to our economy, you know, in our country then. But once you get into, you know, what you call the you know, quote unquote medicinal category, you start to look at the science and the research that has been done, on THC and on CBD, which I told you listeners about before, which is cannabidiol.
Right.
And other cannabinoids as well. They're now being studied, including CBG. And a lot of, and this is really cutting edge stuff, and where a lot of this is coming from. And just so everything is clear, you know, there are oils, tinctures, capsules that in the legal states people can take that will have amounts or even high amounts of THC in them. And then there are also drops, capsules, tinctures, which HempMeds also does sell in all 50 states, along with the topicals that you mentioned, that contain very, very high amounts of CBD and very, very trace amounts of THC.
What we're looking at, too, I think here, and to keep this line pretty fine and pretty clear, is you're really looking at a, you know, a 1 to 10 range. So if we think of 10 as the recreational, I'm going to go get high because this is what I want. I want as much THC as I could possibly get because that's what I want. That's recreational.
Yeah.
Let's say that's a 10. Now, when we say medicinal sometimes, too, can range into the 7 and 8 group because for certain medical conditions, you might need that range of that THC, but it might be a lesser amount and with more CBD also, and that would be in your 7 to 8 range, I think, of a discussion. Do you agree?
Yes, absolutely. That really can vary a lot. You know, quite a bit of, you know, how much is in it.
Right, and then we look at some of your products, which are in the range of 1 and 2 on the line. So they may have more CBD, hardly any THC, or they may have little less CBD and maybe a tiny bit more of THC. So you're on the 1 and 2. So that's really the range we're talking about. I mean, what we call therapeutic because, you know, you're looking for it for an effect. In other words, it's not just something you're saying, you know, I'm just going to put it on my salad dressing because of that. You are starting at number 1 where it's a food grade and then you're working your way up. And I think that's a pretty clear way of putting that range.
Yes, exactly. And meanwhile, CBD or cannabidiol, which the best favor I could do for all your listeners is to do a quick Google search of CBD or cannabidiol to see. You'll be pretty amazed by some of what comes up, especially if you do a deep dive and just do actual research on, wow, you know, what is going on here with all this. CBD has become a very, very large part of the research and of the conversation. So much so that along with the 25 states, you know, 4 of which are recreational, the rest of which are, you know, medical marijuana states, so to speak, 11 other states actually are CBD-only states, including a lot of what you mentioned in the southeastern part of the country. The CBD-only states are actually Florida, Alabama, Kentucky, North South Carolina, Missouri, Iowa, Minnesota, These are all CBD-only states. And these are states that still, and keep in mind, our company and at HempMeds, we are outspoken that we are in favor of legalization. And of just, you know, let's face it, you know, nobody should go to jail for possessing marijuana or growing, you know, small amounts of it. You know, part of that country is just the country growing up. I mean, it's literally looking at comparatively studies about THC and marijuana compared to alcohol. I mean, the evidence of how much less dangerous the natural plant is almost staggering, especially once you start looking at numbers about drunken driving, deaths, domestic abuse, and child abuse. However, CBD is so important that these states that I just listed that right now are pretty clearly not still comfortable or on board with legalizing actually THC and marijuana, they have looked at CBD. And the state legislatures there have said, you know, CBD is so important and the necessity of people to have access to CBD is so important that we are going to pass a law acknowledging that. And it's a huge part of the conversation now and something worth looking into and being researched. Because basically they have looked at CBD, looked at the debate and you know, what the consumers, people coming to them are saying that they need, looked at the research and the science, and basically have, you know, quote unquote, you know, acknowledged or legalized actually at HempMeds what we do, which is provide non-psychoactive CBD oil from the non-psychoactive part of the hemp plant. So hopefully I'm clearly walking my listeners through that is it is the most important thing to know and to do your own research, to research CBD, to research THC, to kind of move all of the crazy, you know, like activists and kind of really, you know, in your face or vitriolic people around all of this out of it. Look at the science, follow the science, and really become informed about what is going on and what all this is. Because,
and
you know, shows
really
like this are pretty good. And you know, like quick 2-minute sound bites on the news have just done a horrible, horrible job of educating the American people about what is going on.
Well, I think when you do your research, too, it's very important to do what you and I have just done. We're going to put something on the left. We're going to put something on the right. And then when we do that, we're going to, you know, we can take the recreation out. We know what that is. It's way high. We can take out the seed oil that you put on your salads. That's really low and doesn't have really much. And then we can look at those other two factors, the medicinal and with CBD and with low THC. So we're looking at those two. And put that on a range of 1 to 10 on your list. And when you're doing your research, find out where it fits in. You know, with CBD only down at 1 and maybe, excuse me, high THC on number 10. And then be able to fit in what you're looking for, what product you're looking for, what state you live in, what the laws are. And you'll be able to start seeing how that little pattern will fit together and then what you need to do or not do or whatever you might be looking for. I think that's where you have to make those decisions. So with your company now, Andrew, what products do you have available and do you need to be in the state you're in?
Yeah, great question. Great question. And the answer is we don't, thankfully. Basically, our company actually does business with the federal government. Here is a little tidbit that probably will blow your readers away because this has recently gotten publicized more. I mean, we've had a couple of executives on national cable news. But the federal government actually patented cannabinoids, which I was walking your listeners through, patented cannabinoids in 2003. And a researcher with the National Institutes of Health actually studying cannabinoids found all of this that we're seeing now, the reasons why the states are legalizing and everything, and filed literally a federal government patent on cannabis, which is basically everything that we're talking about right now. So, yes, the simple truth of the matter is millions and millions of Americans are in jail for either attempting to sell marijuana or possession of it or trying to grow it, largely disproportionately many of them minorities. Meanwhile, the federal government actually has patented this, has patented cannabinoids, which goes to show you, and it's the National Institute of Health under the Department of Health and Human Services that did, which goes to show you what really is coming, which is this is real. And, you know, the science and the research is unavoidable, inevitable, and, you know, this is all coming. And one of our sister companies, Kennalife Sciences, actually owns the exclusive license to the federal government patent from the National Institute of Health, and they are doing R&D research and development right now. So meanwhile, given that our company, already does, to a degree, does business with the federal government, we are very, very concerned about compliance and staying compliant. And the regulatory environment around all of this is extremely confusing and changing, it seems like every couple of weeks or every month. How do you have to label this, and how do you have to, transport it and ship it, and, are people going to get confused? However, as we walked through, we draw CBD or cannabidiol from the mature stalk of the hemp plant and infuse it into our products, drops. You would, squirt into your mouth twice a day, capsules, tinctures, vapes, and even topicals, things like shampoo and edibles. And at HempMeds, we sell in all 50 states right now because it's from the non-psychoactive part of the hemp plant. So your listeners can literally go to hempmeds.com and, read about it, look at what the products that are there. And it's amazing, and actually a problem right now in the country, that people don't know what is accessible to them and aren't educated about it. So we're very happy to try to do our best and to support the fact that hemp products from the non-psychoactive part of the hemp plant are legal in all 50 states. And no, we're not forced to be located in California, where we are. There's a standing legal precedent, legal court ruling called HIA versus DEA, which was a Ninth Circuit court ruling where basically the DEA started raiding retail stores, which is, what they do best, over hemp products like hemp necklaces, shirts, and things like that. And the HIA, which is the Hemp Industries Association, actually sued them and said, you can't do this. Non-psychoactive parts of the hemp plant are, exempt from the definition of marijuana. They are legal to import and sell in all 50 states. And so the HIA won the Ninth Circuit Court ruled in their favor, and the DEA declined to appeal. We're able to sell at HempMeds CBD oil products from the non-psychoactive part of the hemp plant in all 50 states.
So I would encourage everyone to look on the internet and do your research, and please do exactly listen to this show very closely, how we separated things out, the left and the right, and then did our our grading scale from 1 to 10 and find what you are looking for, what your reasoning behind it, and do your own research and be able to find the products therein. On the bottom of today's show page, we will have the links directly to the companies that Andrew is talking about, so no worries if you've missed them. They will be on the bottom of the page, and you can click right there and go directly to that page for reference. So, Andrew, if everybody is able to get all of these products, where do you see the market going? I mean, I see it as physicians will be able to give maybe higher CBD and slightly higher THC numbers to people that really have a lot of chronic illnesses and maybe cancer eventually. I see that. And then I see maybe that there'll be a lot of other people that will have a lot more benefits from just the CBD. And what are your thoughts?
So it's going to be exciting, and honestly, what's really great is, you know, this is a natural product. You know, this is a plant that grows out of the ground, and it's going to be an industry that is going to explode. And you know, already everybody who knows, and I mean, keep in mind, you got to know. I mean, there are investors now looking to spend millions and millions of dollars investing in this space. You know, insiders who know just how big this industry, the cannabis industry, is going to be, call it the green rush, right, so to speak. You know, is the green rush. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, big money. Literally what we're looking at is if you look at, you know, numbers in Colorado, it's how we formulate, you know, this, our projections about everything. It's going to be a $1 billion industry. We're talking about the next Silicon Valley. But what's great is it's, you know, it's all natural products rather than, you know, silicone computer chips. And so, if you look at right now, you know, Colorado is recreational and kind of really getting going on a state level. Colorado, you know, marijuana THC sales in August were about $33 million for recreational cannabis and $32.2 million for medical cannabis. So what we've drawn from those numbers and from numbers we see in California, we literally think at a national level, we'd be looking at the THC market being at something like $34 billion mm-hmm. once it's fully developed, and the CBD market capturing about a third of that, being about a $17 billion industry once everything is fully developed. So literally you are looking at, you know, the next gold rush going on right now is the cannabis industry. And, you know, that most likely is the biggest reason why the president is signing this bill and telling, you know, federal authorities, federal, you know, regulators, just back off of the states, you know, back off of the states with medical marijuana laws, back off of the states that are attempting to grow hemp, just get out and let it go. And it's going to be fascinating to watch then how things proceed, you know, from a federal level and a regulatory level from there.
You know, it's going to be interesting because now we've really becoming a nation of not wanting people to smoke cigarettes. You know, we've really dumbed down that thing where we just can't, almost to not tolerate it in a lot of states, and even here in the Deep South where it is everywhere all the time, there's not really many regulations here. And they said, oh, well, we have to. It's the federal government will require it. And they're like, well, not in this state, you know, or something like that. And a lot of people really try to get around it. And then if you look at it, you know, if cigarettes start to go away and then alcohol is the next big thing that they're really going to say, hey, you know, people are just drunk all the time. We need to start doing something about this. And so it kind of like has taken a transition, you know, where tobacco was the first drug and then alcohol was the next. And then now this will be weed and this will be coming back again. So it's kind of a shifting of the products in which we like to imbibe. Does that make it sound better? you know, and it's products that will help us in our lives, our health, or but maybe just be able to lighten our load, as I always say, you know. Products that we're just looking for to alter our state of health or our being or our mind. And since we're coming away from these tobacco and eventually the alcohol will start waning away, we'll be right into that. So it is going to be, you know, that transition. Hey, those monies that were holding up the tobacco industry, they've got another industry to put it right into. So, you know, money just shifts and transforms, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And it will be interesting to, you know, to watch. And you know, keep in mind, just like anything else, you know, obviously this is a plant, this is a substance that can be, you know, abused as well. You know,
right.
I mean, anything in excess certainly can be bad for you. Yes, anyone who is armed with the facts and anyone who is armed with their research, you know, certainly if you compare the consumption of marijuana mm-hmm. or especially CBD from hemp to the consumption of alcohol, or you mentioned smoking tobacco, mm-hmm. I mean, the actual numbers are just staggering in terms of how harmful alcohol and tobacco
Correct.
Can be. While we've left those legal for decades and decades, mm-hmm. the science doesn't stand up to that. And finally, our country has grown up to the point where, to different degrees and to you know, in different levels in the different states, it's finally being acknowledged. Just reality and the science is being acknowledged.
And I think it's about finding that middle ground. Maybe that what we were talking before about the 1 to 10, maybe it's finding that middle ground of like 2 to 6 or 7, you know, along the CBD and THC range. That really is the optimum range to be able to keep us in a safe, healthy perspective. You know, the abuse issue maybe being, you know, 8, 9, 10 and up. But, you know, to be able to keep you in that middle part, I think that's really what everybody's looking for. And how do we get there and how do we keep ourselves there?
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be very interesting to watch develop. It's going to be a huge, huge industry that's going to explode. And, you know, it will be exciting to watch. Well, as you mentioned, it really is the Wild West right now.
Well, Andrew, it was a great time having you on the show today. Could you give us some information about your website and how people could find out more about checking it out and potentially ordering? That would be great.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, the best thing that they could do is to go to hempmeds.com where they can read more, you know, they can answer more of their questions. We even have, you know, a page listing resources, you know, where they can read more about, you know, CBD and things like that. And
right.
when they go to the site, they will see a whole host of different, you know, product listings actually and, you know, different things really going on. But if they look at the different products, the main ones they'll see is topicals and hair care, which is what we're talking about, you know, things
right.
like shampoos, body wash, things for your skin, which your skin is the biggest organ in your body. So, you know, we make all kinds of CBD products for that. They will see drops under products as well, which honestly, those can be a great way to get started.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Basically, the drops right now, Dixie Drops are our big brand and our big line, mm-hmm. and we have a lot of news coming out about that. CBD oil drops are kind of, you know, I right now I take them twice a day, you know, morning and night, because, you know, I've done my research about CBD and seeing, you know, wow, holy Moses, you know, look at how much is out mm-hmm. there about this. Then they would see CBD hemp oil under products as well. That will actually point them to real scientific hemp oil, which is actually a very, very important and very kind of impactful product. That is our super concentrate CBD product. It is literally 15% to 20% CBD. And that product specifically has literally made headlines around the world in a very, very, very impactful way. That would run into the gamut. There's a couple of things on there as well. I mean, we're starting to develop things like, you know, edibles and CBD protein bars, CBD cookies, but really the drops, capsules, the CBD hemp oil that I mentioned there, and then you mentioned the whole topical line as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was absolutely great. I think we did a great talking about all the different groups, and maybe people will have a little bit better understanding to say it's not such a scary thing. Maybe I can delve into looking up more information, you know, be able to find